Big show for you here today. It is the annual final piece of draft advice episode. The whole crew joins me to give you one last piece of draft advice. Actually, honestly, everybody gives you like multiple pieces of draft advice right before your biggest drafts this year. Scott Pianowski, Ray Garvin, and Justin Boone joined me to give you everything you need to know as your clocks are about to tick. We know that the vast majority of fantasy drafts happen this weekend. Let's waste no more time. Let's get right into it. What's going on, everybody? I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast, and it is a hell of a day to talk ball. And joining me to do just that is everybody here on the Yahoo Fantasy staff. Today, you're going to hear from Ray Garvin, Scott Pianowski, Justin Boone, as well as myself, as we conclude cram week here on the show and our draft season coverage. For those who've listened to the pod for the last 2 years, you probably know what this episode is today. It's not only our last pod of the month of August, it's also usually our shortest podcast of the year, almost definitely our shortest podcast of the year. It's also maybe the most important show that we do of the entire year, because each of us is going to share our final pieces of draft advice on today's show. We know that many of you may have already had a few drafts in the bag, but honestly, the reality is the vast majority of you, your most important drafts of the year are about to take place on this holiday weekend. Hell, you might even be listening to this pod right now as you head to that draft, you know, or as you're potentially putting those last pieces of your own kind of plans into place here. So, hey, shout out to all of you for choosing us during this time of the year. In fact, actually, we do have some internal Yahoo Fantasy app data to share with you to prove what I just said is the truth. For those haters out there, they're just like, well, my draft's already done. Just last year, Labor Day Sunday and Monday were our two biggest draft days on record for Yahoo Fantasy. So let's hope we break that record again this year. Always love to just keep topping ourselves. Speaking of this season, starting this Friday, it is projected that 60% of all drafts on the Yahoo Fantasy app will take place this weekend through next Thursday. That is up until the Cowboys-Eagles kickoff of the season. That's millions of drafts that are going to take place over the next few days. So for today's show, we hope to cut through all the noise, try to cram as much goodness that we've given you into August into one show. Those little final tools for your drafts. Let's get started here with Ray Garvin. All right, we are here with our guy, Ray Garvin, who is going to provide his final piece of draft advice as your drafts are, drafts are happening right now, Ray. Okay. People are on the clock. Like, I got to slam this one last podcast in before I make my first pick. What is your final piece of draft advice for those going right now?
Yeah, I'm going to start with something very simple, Matt, a simple concept, keeping it very, very simple. Check, double check, and triple check your league settings. I cannot stress this enough. I know you think, oh yeah, it's just a PPR format or a half point PPR or standard. But the first thing I do anytime I get ready to draft, man, I go double check, man. I want to make sure it's 4 point per passing touchdown versus six. I want to make sure that the commissioner didn't, you know, whether it was sneakily or just something changed. Like, you've got a plan, but if you get in the worst thing that you can do, and I've been there before, you get into a draft and you think it's one thing and then you're on the clock and it's something completely different. You know, it switched from PPR to half PPR. There was an extra taxi squad spot added. They removed the taxi squad from your roster requirements. There was an extra receiver added. So always, always, always just double check those settings. It's very simple, but it's one of the things that doesn't matter any draft that I'm doing. Hell, Matt, when we're doing mock drafts around here, you got to double check the draft settings on a mock, like, to make sure you are executing the assignment right now. So for me, one of the first things that I do, no matter what that league is, very simple, double check the settings.
Do you have, number one, great advice. It seems easy, but it's so easy to forget, honestly. I can't tell you the amount of times that, especially if I'm in a slow draft, I'm like, how many wide receivers we start in this league? How many flex spots we got to start in this league? Because I'm not trying to like, the running back value looks really, really good. You know, and really screw myself in that way. That's happened before. Okay. You know, I don't love the term fantasy expert, but you know, people are like, are fantasy experts? I'm like, I'm checking settings in the middle of the damn drafts. Okay. So great advice, Ray. Do you have any like practical examples of just the half PPR to PPR distinction? Sometimes I get caught up on like, what's a practical example of how like the people can take that and use it in their drafts this weekend?
Well, let's think about this, right? If it's a half PPR format, just traditionally, right, outside of your high end wide receivers, running backs, the value on those guys, it goes up. You're not getting a full point per reception for the wide receivers or for some of the running backs. And conversely, in a full PPR league, there might be some running backs that aren't traditional bell cows. You'll hear all these fantasy analysts saying, you got to get the bell cow running back in the backfield. Well, in a PPR format, you can take some flyers on some guys that may not be the team's primary rusher, but they're locked into a pass catching role. They are historically really good receiving running backs. So when you make sure that you know what you're dealing with as far as how your fantasy assets are going to score points, it helps flow into my second tip that we'll get into, you know, the plan that you have to have for the draft. Tight end premium leagues. Listen, if you're in a league and you didn't quite know, you didn't check those settings and you get there and you see an extra point for a tight end, a bonus, a tight end premium league, you got to move some of those tight ends up. Where in a half PPR, you wouldn't maybe take a Brock Bowers in round one, but in a tight end premium league, you may be like, you know what? I got to grab this stud early. So that is why super, super simple, but something that everybody can do from the comfort of your phone. Just double check your league settings.
No question. Yeah. I mean, that's a great one, right? The tight end premium changes everything. And I've definitely been more open. It's a great call out that running back in the flex in half PPR, if you can win the flex with a running back, man, it's a really good way to just go ahead and win your league right there. So definitely make sure you check those scoring settings. All right, get into your second point here.
Yeah, let's really get into it, because this is one where we all, Matt, you, me, Scott, Boone, everybody, anybody watching this, we all have a plan. We all have an idea of who we want to take with our draft pick, what we're going to do. You have to have a plan, but more importantly, Matt, you got to be flexible. You've got to be able to read your room. You don't want to get in there with this preconceived notion that I'm just going to hammer running back, and then you start to see that the room is letting value fall, right? They're not taking the running backs. The running backs are falling, and you start to look like, man, I might be able to sneak in a Malik Nabers here and still get me a good running back later, still be able to pick some guys later. So you have to have a plan. And that plan is built by what? Knowing your league format, understanding which positions are the valuable positions, understanding your scoring settings, and understanding how many of those players that you need to occupy your starting spots. But after you have your plan, who said it, man? I think it was Mike Tyson, Matt Harmon. Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth, right? You're sitting at the 105, the 106, and you're thinking, oh yeah, no doubt Gibbs is going to be there. Uh-oh. He goes 101. There's a running back running. Oh my God, you're sitting there and the guys that you thought would be there are gone. And that's where I've seen people make a lot of mistakes. They get on the clock, and because their plan was ruined or disrupted, they panic, Matt. The clock is ticking down. You get auto-picked. You don't know what to do. You have to be able to be flexible and read the room despite having a plan going into a draft.
Yeah, and hopefully at this point, in the calendar, because a little too late for that now. Hopefully at this point in the calendar, you've gotten your reps in, right? You've done mock drafts. You've done best ball drafts. You know, you've gotten enough reps in to know that, all right, this is how I can execute this strategy if things go this way. Because if this is like your one and only draft, man, you know, it's just going to be tough, right? It's going to be tough to, because you've probably listened to a lot of podcasts and done articles and stuff, and you've got like a draft strategy. You know, you've got that. But like Ray said, that thing can get blown up like this, you know, and it's just every room is different. Every league is different. Every, you know, it's just, this is why I even struggle sometimes, Ray, talking about like, oh, the market believes this, that, and the other. Okay, well, the individual player who rosters that guy in your dynasty league might have a very different view than the market or whatever. So like it just it, this stuff is so independent to like individual rooms and leagues and stuff like that. Great, it's a great advice. Like, I mean, I don't know. How do you do it though? Because I struggle with this.
You have to be fluid. You have to. It's hard to give out. This is what you do, right? This is how you do it. You just have to be fluid. You know, if you've been listening to the content on this channel, you know how we feel about zero RB versus hero RB versus these wide receivers. You hear about the tiers, right? Have a plan. Have an idea based on your draft. Don't we do articles and podcasts on drafting from certain spots, what to do at this spot? Take all of that stuff into consideration and have a plan. But there's always that one or two rogue drafters that just does something off the wall to throw a wrench. And all these plans and the disruption, it doesn't have to be a negative. It could be somebody reaching for a tight end in a non-premium league. And you're like, oh my God, I didn't think Gibbs was going to fall to me. I was fully prepared to take Justin Jefferson. But now, like, the running back presents its value. So whatever your plans were in round two or three, have to just be flexible. Feel the vibes of your draft room and sort of let the board fall to you. There's a time and a place, Matt, where it's get your guy season, right? There's a time and a place where ADP be damned. Go get the player that you want. But starting off early, just be flexible and available to bend and flow with that draft room. And you said it, every room is different. Every draft is different. Every room is different. Have a plan, but be flexible.
Yeah, man. I mean, think about just like quarterbacks, right? Like I've said, I really want to take one of those elite quarterbacks this year. I'd love to have a Josh Allen, a Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels. If those guys go early, if those guys go earlier than I thought, I'm not then going to overreact and go to the next tier of quarterbacks like too quickly. You know, it just maybe if those quarterbacks start flying off the board, there's a run. I'm not trying to say, hey, let me be in this run. Let me get in this. Same with the tight ends too. It's like, I'm just going to, that's a moment where it's like, I have a plan. I'm going to stick to it. And I'm not going to overreact to the room too, because that's something that can also happen, Ray, where it's like these things start taking place in your draft and it might cause you to get out of your original plan when really that might have been the right way to approach it. So there's sort of like a double-edged sword there in a way.
Yeah. It's called what I coined it as just draft discipline. Have some draft discipline. Have your foundation, have your principles, but be disciplined. It's fine to catch the falling value. I never want to be the one to start the run. I don't want to start the run. I want to have the option to catch the run, to jump in the run if I so choose. But I don't want to really be the one to start the run based on an unforeseen event or circumstance happening, right? All the elite quarterbacks go, well, I guess I'll take insert QB name there just so I have a guy. Have the draft discipline to wait, be patient, and execute your plan. And just know, like, this is fun. Enjoy the process. Don't get so rigid with this plan and this is how I'm going to build and these are the backs I'm going to take because they told me to. You got to be fluid with this thing. You have to.
Yeah. Don't get too stressed out on the clock, too. That's another good one there. All right. Give us your third piece of advice here, Ray.
All right. We're going to have some fun with this one, Harmon, because it's just tried and true, man. They cost as cheap as they'll be for the most part, but outside of some top guys, draft rookies. Like, this is, with those last few picks, Matt, Kareem Hunt could very well be a part of the Kansas City Chiefs offense, but that's not the type of upside I'm shooting for with my very last pick, right? I think just drafting rookies late historically doesn't mean you're going to hit. Very well, they could be waiver. They could be cut candidates week two. You're like, this dude doesn't have a role. He's not on the field. But if you do land that Puka Nacua, if you do take that flyer a few years ago on Trey McBride as one of your late round tight end options, if you do stumble into a quarterback that is a big producer that a lot of people faded throughout the process, AKA a Bo Nix of last year, like that return on that investment at those positions, it's incredible. Right now you're looking at some guys where, you know, Ja'Cory Kroski-Mayer, just think if you drafted him early, just, I'm just taking the rookie running back in an offense that should be pretty good. When it happens, because what likely happens towards the end of the season with some of these teams is they get their young guys some looks. Xavier Worthy did not end the season in 2024 the way he started. It was a very different player at the end of the year than where he started. I am so comfortable with taking flyers on rookies later in drafts. And I'm not talking about Travion Henderson, who's a locked and loaded top pick. We're not talking about Jenty. I'm talking about the Kyle Williams. I'm talking about some of these running backs that could fall into some opportunity if things break right. These roles are not clear right now, but at the cost of investment, get you some rookies, man.
Yeah, we've so focused on, and we talked about this on the preseason panic meter episode. It's like, we're so focused over analyzing the preseason to like try to figure out what the week one rotation looks like. Who cares? Okay, that you don't win fantasy. You don't win your fantasy football league by getting the best week one lineup, right? You know, it's like, oh well, I drafted Jaden Higgins and he ran 30% of the routes in week one. And I was expecting this, that, and the other. It's like, okay, we'll just drop him and move on, and maybe keep him on that waiver wire speed dial, right? Because that's something too. Let's say you draft Bashaul Tuten. And he didn't get off to a hot start. You draft him. Don't just be like, I'm never picking that guy back up, because it's all about that post-buy rookie bump, Ray. You know, that's another thing, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if you have the depth to hold the guy, that's great. But a lot of times it's not the person who first drafted the rookie. It can be the person who picks him up off the wire, which you can be both. You could be both persons.
Yeah, and it's so funny because you start the season out, and the values are inevitably the veterans, because the old guys are probably going to be on the field early. They know the playbook. They've been around. You know how it is, Matt. The veteran preference goes to the old guy first, right? But as we inch through the season and attrition takes place, like the rookies are where you can really get that big bang for your buck in fantasy. And there are certain positions that I'm very, very interested in doing at the running back, guys. I mean, we're already sitting here right now where players like Ollie Gordon could be walking into an RB2, you know, role with the Miami Dolphins. Granted, how good we think the team may or may not be, he's going to probably see opportunity. Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, another one of those guys, potentially a Thornton in this Raiders offense. There, Pat Bryant in Denver with Devon Vele being traded. These are guys that if you can get them late, I would rather take Pat Bryant with my final pick than Kareem Hunt.
Love it.
Give me the upside.
That is great advice.
You know?
Yeah. 100%. Keep it locked into these rookies, which is a great way to outro this, Ray, because not only will you be writing about rookies for the website every single week here, can share, I'm very excited to share, that you will be on the show every Tuesday during the season for our data dump episode. So it's going to be great to dive into how much do you like keep up with the Trinity during the season? You're tracking this like every single week, right?
Yeah, I think it's kind of cool because you really just get to look at that usage, all of that target stuff, and just really see, like, you know, oh my gosh, Nico Collins was like the breakout trusted Trinity find type player. Like you keep seeing the consistent usage week one, week two, and people I don't believe in. It's like, it's right there. So it'll be fun. I'm super excited to be able to jump on with you every single Tuesday and just talk through what we saw, what it means, and what we can take from it and project forward.
No question. We're going to be doing a lot of that. Very excited to be able to talk to Ray every single week here on the show and actually talk about some real damn football games, not just preseason reps and draft strategy and all that stuff. So shout out to Ray. Appreciate you for joining this part of the episode. After the break, Scott Pienowski is joining me to share his final pieces of draft advice. Can't wait to dive into that right after this break. Joining us now, it is Scott Pienowski here for his final piece of advice as you begin to kick off your fantasy football drafts right now. I mean, Scott, these people are on the clock right now, just like I was on the clock right now when we did our pod earlier this week. So maybe you're still giving me advice. Maybe you're giving the people advice. Let's get it ripped. Let's get into it here. What is your first piece of advice for the people that are drafting this weekend?
Yeah, these are the high priority tips. And let's start with your draft. I want you to draft for value and worry about balance later. What does that mean? Don't be one of these teams that's like, okay, I'm going to take a running back, and then I'm going to take a receiver, and then I'm going to take a tight end, and then I'm going to take a quarterback. It's okay to have a plan, but you put it in pencil. And when players slip unexpectedly, I want you to be comfortable veering off that plan, acquire the most talent you can on draft day, and between trading, if your league allows it, between the waiver wire and the in-season maneuvering, you'll figure out things. And don't worry about bye weeks and what quarterback can I play in week 9. Your roster is going to be so different now. I want you to be value-focused and pliable on draft day, and we'll balance that roster later on.
It's really hard for people to do that, right? Because they see those, they see the starting spots. Like, how far do you tend to push this? You know, like, how far do you, like, kick the second running back can down the road if the value at wide receiver is good? Because again, it can be so difficult for me to do that. And if it's difficult for me to do that, I know it's difficult for other people to do it.
It's a great question, Matt. I mean, it comes down to, you have to know your room. You have to know the habits, the drafting habits, the waiver habits, the trading habits of your league, and also play to your strengths, right? I mean, you're known for your wide receiver work. You're probably more likely to mine the middle of the draft, the late part of the draft, or the waiver wire for wide receivers that hit. So you can, you know, draft into that. Some people may be really good with rookies. Maybe you follow the college game really closely, and you know, maybe last year you were all over Jaden Daniels. You were laughing at people trying to draft Anthony Richardson like he was going to be a star. He's not even a starter in the NFL anymore, for crying out loud. So you have to really season that to taste. I don't know if there's one takeaway answer for everybody. It comes down to, what are you comfortable waiting? And always ask yourself too, look at your draft when you're making your plan, tilt the draft board upside down, say, what positions can I feel comfortably in round 10, round 12, round 14, whatever it is? You know, you're probably going to draft your kicker and defense at the very end. And since we're this close to the start of the season, I will draft a defense. I realize in July or early August, you want to draft another lottery ticket, but there's just not much news that's going to happen now that cutdown day has happened. Everybody's in bubble wrap now. I don't know what major news could pop between now and then, but think to yourself, what can I get cheaply? And that will affect how you approach those middle and early rounds.
All right, give me your next piece of final advice as the people are hitting their clocks right now.
Yeah, we were throwing this around a lot in Las Vegas. I want you to play with a microscope, not a telescope. What does that mean? It means focus on what's in front of you, okay? You know, what do we know now? What teams do we perceive to be strong and weak in certain areas? And don't be – I know it's so trendy to say, oh, yeah, well, I got this team that week 16 we're going to dominate because look at the schedule and everything. So many things are going to change. Injuries and coaching and schemes and players that are better than expected, worse than expected, and, you know, surprise teams to the good and surprise teams to the bad. I only look at the season kind of in quarterly segments. I think that's a Justin Boone strategy too, to kind of break the season up into four pieces. So and this also ties to the idea of winning September. Okay. Last couple of years in Yahoo Fantasy, if you started 3-0, you were 73% to make the playoffs. If you started 0-3, you were 12% to make the playoffs. So, you know, that speaks for itself. But also, when you have that winning record, you get into October and the bye weeks, you can play with leverage, right? You can make those 2-for-1 trades where you pick off somebody's best player because they need depth. You can pick up somebody off the waiver wire or hold somebody who's hurt because you don't need to must win in week 5, week 6, week 7. I want to play with leverage. A lot of times I talk about that being the button in poker, going last in a negotiation. You want to be in that position where you hold the cards, where you get to say last what's going to happen. So how do we get there? We go 3-1. We go 4-0 in September. And how do you do that? You play fantasy football with a microscope. I hope I said this right. It's microscope, not telescope. I got to get that on a hat or a shirt. But play what's in front of you. Don't get too in the weeds about what's going to happen 2 or 3 months from now.
I said this in Las Vegas, Scott. Big missed opportunity here at Yahoo that we don't have t-shirts that say microscope, not telescope. That and all your many other great sayings that have burned into my brain. I don't know how, Scott, I don't know how many podcasts now I'm on at this point where I'm like, well, you know, Scott Pienowski says win September. Like, just, that's another shirt right there. Win September. Can you imagine people walking around down the street with their win September shirts? Like, that's a freaking flex right there, bro.
Yeah, I think Clint Kubiak has one from last year after the Saints went 2-0 and were smashing everybody. So yeah, Pienowski go 2-0. How does that stand for? What did the Saints do? Did they go to the playoffs last year?
No, but you know they did win September, so there is that. So they definitely were the Scott Pienowski fantasy football team. They read your articles last year. Clint Kubiak absolutely read your articles. So
to be fair, if Shahid doesn't get hurt, he's having a dynamic season. He would have been a right answer.
There's no question about that. But from the fantasy football standpoint, this comes down to, and I say this all the time, I love best ball content, but I think best ball brain has infected like our fantasy football analysis. And like you said, the facts of the matter are, if you get off to a hot start, it's just real easy to run through the rest of the season and stack like your bench with some insurance policies, Scott, which is another point I know you want to get into. Like, how do you manage those insurance policies at the running back position?
Yeah, I don't like running back insurance in the summer, and I will come back to it. Halloween is probably a good point to maybe revisit it. Now, we don't always know what the insurance is. Some nitwit named Scott Pianowski was telling you about Isaac Grendo a couple weeks ago, and he's not even the backup to Christian McCaffrey. They've made a trade since. Brian Robinson, come on down. So sometimes these backup situations need to flesh out. And also, I want you to play for the big inning in the summer, in August, in September, when you do that draft. Draft like you've put the right answers on the piece of paper. And it's like in baseball, right? Bunting is never right in the first inning, second inning, third inning. You're trying to play for the beginning. But in the end of a baseball game, when you only need one run to win, often bunting is right. The shape of your roster is another tip. The shape of your roster is going to be a lot different in September than it is later in the season, where I may carry two defenses during playoff season. I may carry backups at certain positions to make sure I'm covered. Some leagues you may run out of fab money, or maybe you can't make pickups after a certain date. Maybe trading shuts off, so you have to play to that. I'm looking ahead more. You know, what's 1 week, 2 weeks ahead of me? I might do that game more in November and December when the playoffs come around, where all I'm doing in September is trying to get a starting team I really like and a bunch of guys with high upsides. And so a lot of those guys you're going to cut. This ties into another spot, by the way. You've got to be proactive with that waiver wire, right? You want the back of your roster to be fluid, you know, whether it's 10%, 15%, 20%. The worst thing you can do is fall in love with bench players when better opportunities are available. You look at the Monty Hall problem, right? It's a paradox where there are three choices. One of them is revealed to be the wrong choice. Of the two remaining choices, one of them has the prize, one of them has a goat. You originally made a choice. Now you have the option to choose after one option is eliminated. And even though it's completely counterintuitive, you should make the change because you have more information now. And that's the waiver wire. You picked up somebody as your last round pick. You had a reason for doing that. But once something is more interesting, is more viable, that's available to you, it doesn't matter what you thought in July. You have to play given the current information. So I want you to be proactive. I want you to be smart with the waiver wire. And I'll tie in one more tip. A lot of these are lumping together. You get a routine things. You get a calendar things. What do I mean by that? As soon as your draft starts, and Ray was talking about how important it is to know the league settings and everything. Part of that is, when does waivers run? What are the rules there? A lot of times my own leagues, I'll not realize the first waiver run was happening a week before I expected, and I'll miss out on some of the guys who have popped in value since we last went there. So you got to get in your calendar. Matt, you know, you have a dental appointment, you have a doctor's appointment, your vet appointment, whatever it is. That's all on my calendar. I'd never remember anything because life is dynamic. I have to have everything in my calendar. That includes all your fab stuff, all your deadlines, and you want to do routines. You want your fab decisions. A lot of us are in multiple leagues. That's why you're here. We're trying to help you through it. You want to have the same routine every week. So you're in a, you know, you get into a rhythm. You know when you're doing your stuff. You know when you're doing your research, and it's going to help you make better decisions, more consistent. And what's worse, Matt, you and I are going to feel this. It's going to be week one. You're going to be doing Fantasy Football Live. I'm going to be answering start sit questions. And we're going to have that back of a mind. What team did I forget? Did I forget to move somebody off my roster, somebody who got scratched on game day or something like that? Don't be that guy. Calendar, organize, get routines. It's part of being a successful fantasy manager, or really successful at anything.
Yeah, like if you're playing in 4+ leagues, which, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, maybe you do, maybe you don't. But if you play in 4+ leagues, I guarantee you there will be a Sunday this year. There's going to be a Thursday night where you're like, oh my God, did I leave somebody off? You know, don't do that. Don't be in that position. I know I've been in that position before, like Scott says, especially when I'm live on the air for Fantasy Football Live. Make sure you're watching every Sunday morning. Definitely check it out. You can catch it on the app. You can catch it on the Fast Channel. You can catch it many places. But again, there's going to be a moment where that happens to me. I absolutely know that's going to be true. It is what it is. So try to avoid that. I love the calendar suggestion. Scott, going back to just real quick to wrap up here I'll wrap this point up and I'll let you get one more in here. How long do you cling to those priors? Like you mentioned, the guys on your bench, you know, because I struggle with that. So I'm really asking for your advice here. Like, how do you manage letting go of your priors?
Yeah, it's not easy. And it speaks to, first of all, you have to be willing to admit that you're wrong, or the maybe more ego massaging way to say that is when you are alerted to new information, you're going to change your mind. So, you know, maybe the coordinator you were in love with isn't so hot, or maybe the running game you wanted to bank on, the offensive line is hurt now, or, you know, maybe the quarterback, you know, I talked about Anthony Richardson last year, who was a flop, you know, I mean, maybe I believe Justin Fields can be good enough to be a starting fantasy quarterback. So I don't think he's in danger of losing his job, but who knows? Maybe if they get off to an 0-4 start, maybe they'll want to see what Tyrod Taylor can do. So, obviously the top of your draft, those guys are going to have longer leashes and you have to be more reasonable with those guys. With the bottom of your roster, you're going to be more, I guess, trigger happy on the wire, or you're more willing to make a change. But bottom line is you're not trying to market your team. You're not trying to get the media to love you. You're not trying to win favor with the public. You just want points. You just want to win. You just want to make the best decisions you can. And whatever you want to be good at, you have to just ask yourself, where are my weaknesses? What do I want to be better at? You know, for a long time in golf, my wedge game was really bad. And I said, you know, I'm just going to go to the driving range. I'm going to get lessons and I'm going to work on this until it's a strength. You know, I'm not going to be on tour. I'm not going to be one of Keegan Bradley's picks for the Ryder Cup team, but I made a weakness into an acceptable area. I think it might even be a strength now. So whatever it is you want to be, you want to be a better guitar player. You want to be a better bicycle rider. You want to be a better songwriter. Horrible songwriter. I tried to write a song earlier today on our podcast and it failed probably miserably, but it's all about reps. It's all about looking in the mirror, being honest with yourself.
All right, real quick, Scott, give us one last one for the road here that the people can use for their final drafts in these last few days. For sure.
I always hear, oh no, bye weeks. Can't play my best guys. I hate bye weeks. Well, why do we have to have bye weeks? Bye week season is trading season. What do I mean by that? Week 5. Now you have separation. Some in your league's 4-0. Some in your league is 0-4. Some in your league is 1-3. They don't have players playing this week. They may want to make a trade. Everybody loves their team right after the draft. There's no trades right after the draft. Everybody's convinced they have the juggernaut. People start making changes, maybe overreactions. In October, in November, these must-win games come in. Maybe they're changing their mind on guys. Maybe they're just a little bit spooked because things haven't gone their way. Maybe they're not thinking things clearly. It doesn't matter. Trading season starts in October. It's a great time to evaluate what you have. If you're one of those 0-4 or 1-3 teams, maybe you need to trade your best player and try to get 2 or 3 guys that help you get through October and try to claw back in it. If you're one of those leverage teams, I want you to take advantage of the struggling teams. But see the bye weeks for what they are. A great time to show your knowledge of the depth of the league, a great time to evaluate what your team is about, and a great time to make trades, because now people are finally incentivized to adjust their rosters and try to accept what they are in the fantasy football season.
I love it, Scott. That is great advice and something I'm going to try to be better at. I say it all the time. Trading is my, you know, wedge game. It's the thing that I need to get better at. So this year, I'm going to try to shoot out some trade offers during bye weeks. I'm going to try to learn from you as I do every day on this very show. Scott, appreciate you, buddy. Absolutely great content. I know people will enjoy that and they will be better off for it as they head into their drafts. After this next break, Justin Boone joins me to share his final piece of draft advice right after this. Joining us now, it is Justin Boone. Boone, the people are drafting right now. The clocks are ticking. Things are happening. What is your final piece of draft advice for the folks at home?
This is one that I've had to like remind myself of a few times during drafts, and that's, don't be worried about taking too many rookies this year. And in past years, I think I would have been, but this year's rookie class is so good. And I wanted to bring this up because I think often, and especially like drafting in my home leagues and, you know, friends who maybe aren't as dialed into this stuff, I see them in drafts get a little bit scared when they see a name that, you know, they haven't seen that player prove themselves on the NFL stage before. So they get a little worried and they end up going back to the old faithfuls, right? The guys that they've seen produce in the past, maybe some older players that are well over the hump and on the decline. And yet this year's rookie class is just so solid. In some of my drafts, like in the first 6-7 rounds, I'll look at my team and realize I've drafted like 4 or 5 rookies already. And there's a moment of like, wait a minute, this is a terrible idea, right? What am I doing? And then you look at the names and it's like Ashton Jeanty and Omarion Hampton and Travion Henderson and, you know, McMillan and all these guys that are up near the top that I think are going to come in and be able to produce right away and be very strong fantasy assets for teams in redraft and in dynasty. So I mean, we can go through the positions here, Harmon, like I'm doing. Quarterback's the one where, like, unless you're in a super flex league, a two quarterback league, you don't really have to worry about quarterback when it comes to rookies this year. I do think that Cam Ward and at some point Jackson Dart are going to be pretty valuable guys, like second quarterbacks, maybe even some bye week fill-ins in one quarterback league. So we'll be talking about those guys as like waiver wire pickups in the middle of the season when we're dealing with bye weeks and that. But when you look at the other positions, like running back, Ashton Jeanty. Okay, so he's a great prospect going to an offense with Chip Kelly calling the show. It's going to be up-tempo. They want to build things around him. Totally worthy of going at that 1-2 turn. Omarion Hampton, you and I have talked about a player who is so talented, who's going to a team that, yes, it's unfortunate that Rashawn Slater is going to be out for the year, but that offense wants to run the ball. Greg Roman, Harbaugh, they are going to run the ball. And they had success doing it with J.K. Dobbins last season. J.K. Dobbins through the first 11 weeks was the RB14 in fantasy points per game. Now we're taking a first round running back and dropping him into that mix. He's going to be able to come through for you. I think he's a borderline low end RB1. Henderson, I mean, Travion Henderson is going to catch a ton of passes. One of the biggest risers this preseason. We're seeing him do it on the field. What's going to stop him during the regular season from going out there and picking up where he started here? RJ Harvey, I know he's the guy who's splitting the backfield with J.K. Dobbins now, but both those guys, I think, could be very, very productive. And that's just the running backs in the first like four or five rounds. I'm not even getting into yet guys like Bashaul Tootin and, you know, the Cleveland backs, Dylan Sampson, Quinshon Judkins. Who's going to emerge there, assuming Judkins eventually signs and joins the team? Woody Marks, Ollie Gordon. We went over these guys on a dynasty segment that we did, several weeks ago now, where we went through all these rookie running backs, and you laughed that we talked about like 27 different guys, but there's a reason for that, right? There are so many good backs this year who could work their way into roles and be very valuable fantasy assets.
To be clear, I wasn't laughing at you or laughing at the prospect that it was smart to talk about these. I was laughing at the fact that that was like your second show, maybe third or fourth show with us, and you just were like, here, hang on, you need a list of all the running backs ever to be considered in the 2025 NFL draft. It was more like, you can't help but laugh. I was so impressed. So just wanted to get that on the record.
The ask was like ranked the top six or something, and then I just went off. Yes.
So I think it was give us a few dark horse names, and you gave us all of the names, already had them ranked, already had that stuff in there. So no, it was impressive, and it does speak to the strength of this class, though, which is why we're having this conversation. Because honestly, like, I'm looking at my running back rankings, I'm looking at my tiers. It's hard at that specific position, Boone, to like avoid rookies, you know, because there are so many interesting ones in those first few rounds. You listed them out there. You listed a ton of them. Obviously, fantasy Twitter is all about Bill Kroski Merritt, to the point that he's a little like too, I think he's getting a little too much steam. So I think that the rookie running back stuff, again, it's hard to draft around those guys. Besides Ashton Jeanty and Omarion Hampton, if you could give the people like one rookie you really want them to grab at running back, which one is it?
So it's Henderson, but the price is getting really high up there, right? If you're going to get Henderson now, if you can still get him in the fourth, great. I've seen him go up into the third in multiple drafts recently. Jeez. It's probably still going to be worth it, but that is a very high price to pay for him. But we talked about this too, the idea of like, could he be like a Jahmyr Gibbs type in his rookie season where he's not dominating the touches, but he's getting a little over 50%, but just because of the type of player he is, the juice he brings, the big playability, the pass catching chops, he's going to be able to put up top 15 running back numbers on a fantasy basis. So I think he is the pick, but based on price right now, I think Harvey might be the better one to go for because he's not in that different of a situation, and yet he's in a better offense. He's got a much better offensive line. I know he's going to have the competition in Dobbins there, but I think they're going to set him loose as the year goes along. And as much as it's unfortunate to say, is J.K. Dobbins going to make it through the season? He gets hurt every single year. So you worry, is that what's going to have to happen to totally unlock Harvey? But we saw in the preseason, they're not scared to put him out there. They were giving him the reps. So I think Harvey has almost become the one that I've ended up with more just because you can get him slightly cheaper than Henderson, who's just like skyrocketed up boards.
Yeah, and it's just so much about the type of touches, like the pass game stuff, obviously the catches and things of that nature. That's what you really want out of a fantasy running back. Speaking of catches, I just want to ask you about the rookie wide receivers. Is there, I don't know, is there any credence to the idea that, yes, like rookie wide receivers have been absolute league winners in the past? Like the data supports it, the anecdotal evidence supports it. Is there any credence to the fact that now there's been almost maybe not an overcorrection, but certainly a correction by the fantasy ADP that these rookie wide receivers, I feel like, are going earlier this year than ever. Maybe not to the degree of like how high Marvin Harrison Jr. went last year, anything like that. But some of these guys like Egbuka and Golden have risen up to the point where maybe the juice isn't worth the squeeze at this point. Because typically, boom, we talk about, oh, the post-buy rookie bump for the rookie wide receivers. Some of these guys, you're not waiting on that. You're needing that to happen right away. Is there any credence to that fact, or are rookies still clearly like they've got to be a part of your draft plan at the wide receiver position?
I think they have to be a part of it. And you mentioned it, right? It's not the great expectations that came with Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers. And unfortunately, only one of those guys met those expectations. But you don't have to pay up to get these guys in the second, third, or I mean, at times, first round last year. You're getting McMillan in the fourth, fifth round. I think the fact, too, that there's been some injuries in this group, like Travis Hunter's dealt with a shoulder injury. McMillan's dealing with an injury right now. That might have actually helped hold back some of these ADPs from getting a little bit higher. I really think if Travis Hunter was out there the whole preseason, you're telling me he wouldn't have made a few highlight plays that we all would have been talking about, and we wouldn't have seen his ADP rise a couple more rounds? Like, that's the kind of player that this guy is. Super fun, and yet he can still be had in like the sixth round or so. I know Egbuka is the one that's like definitely creeping up there, and you got to get him in like the sixth, seventh. Like, that's where he's going now. And you're probably going to miss out on him if you try to wait and you play that game. But again, he is going to hit the ground running here. He is going into an offense where the player that he kind of is most similar to is probably not going to be around early in the season. And just the hype around him, I told you this, I think it's more hype than I've ever seen a rookie get, like any rookie ever. It's just everything has been so positive for him, on top of the fact that Godwin's injured, that Jalen McMillan is now hurt and on IR. And then Golden, he's somebody that I wasn't as high on initially, but he played very well in the preseason. He got a lot of praise. And then you just look at his situation, like who's the guy stepping up there? Jaden Reed's been injured. So what's Jaden Reed going to be able to do early in the season? Is he even going to be out there week one? They're saying that, yes, he should be ready to go, but we don't know that for sure. And meanwhile, Golden's making plays, and Golden was a guy they invested very heavily in. So I really think all four of those guys are targets for me, and I would be willing to take multiple of them on the same team, even though that seems like such a risky strategy.
All right, you've got one last piece of advice here for the folks that is not rookie-related, but just general running back stuff. Let it rip here, Boone.
It can be rookie-related, I guess, if you want to go rookies with this. I'm not against it, but I've said this for a while. Make sure that you get two running backs in the first four or five rounds. And I bring this up because it also goes against kind of the strategy that I've had in recent years where I've gone more hero RB. I think this year there is a very distinct drop off, and I want to make sure that I get two quality running backs. After that, if you wait for a while and you don't dip your toe back in until the ninth, 10th round or the later rounds, and then you load up on backs then, I'm fine with it. You don't need the depth, but I'm saying make sure you get two quality running backs early, because if you don't, that cliff comes very quickly and you will look at your rosters. And I say this from experience when I haven't done it this year, you'll look at your rosters and you will not be very happy. And then you're going to be playing that game of catch up, trying to find that late round guy that's going to hit, which can be done. But I think this year with the amount of backs that are going in that range, some of the values that you're getting on guys like Alvin Kamara, James Conner, Kenneth Walker, some of the guys that are going like the fourth, fifth, sixth round, I think you need to be grabbing that second running back there before you get into that big receiver group in the fifth to eighth, and then before you swing back around to running back later.
I got to say, Boone, we haven't agreed on everything since you've joined the staff here, but we really do agree on how to attack like the running back and wide receiver positions this year. So hopefully now that this draft season is mercifully just about over. Hopefully next year for Fantasy Draft Lead Up, we disagree a little bit more. But that was great stuff, Boone. Attack the rookies. Make sure you fill out those running back spots. After the break, I will share my last piece of draft advice and reveal our fall content calendar. So I got to recalibrate now that Boone took all the good stuff. That will be coming up right after this break. All right, we are back, and it is time for my final pieces of draft advice. I'm just going to rip through four things really quickly here that I want you to keep in mind as you head into your drafts this weekend. Number one, don't run away from ambiguous situations. I'm sure I've said it a lot over the last month, hell, the whole year, the whole offseason for sure. This is where there's profit. It's not a good piece of process to just cross off a team because, oh, it's too crowded there. It's going to be a headache, especially when the ADP is cheap. I'm thinking about places like the Packers wide receiver core. Yes, it might seem crowded on paper, although maybe a little less crowded with this Jaden Reed injury situation. It might seem crowded, but what if there are injuries? What if there becomes clarity? What if Matthew Golden establishes himself as that number one wide receiver on this team, or at least number one wide receiver on this team? He's going to be a major value in your drafts this weekend. Even if that ADP is hiked up a little bit, he's still going to be a value where he goes because other drafters are going to be afraid. Well, the Packers wide receivers, it's been hard to predict, it's been ambiguous. Don't just look to the past, look to potential upside, because that is what we're doing here. We're looking for upside. We're trying to come in first. We're not trying to come in fifth. I'm thinking about another situation like the Jacksonville Jaguars running backs. As of the time I am taping this, there are three guys that could be the starting running back there. So there are definitely going to be managers in your league that sit there and say, I don't want any part of that. I don't want any part of that. It's a three-way committee, blah, 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 blah. Well, again, what if one guy owns that group? Last year in Tampa Bay, Rashad White, Bucky Irving, Sean Tucker. Oh, these are all names. Okay, well, one guy became pretty much the guy there in Bucky Irving. And you know now all the fantasy accounts can't stop tweeting about him. He was one of the best players in fantasy football last year from a value standpoint. So don't run away from ambiguous situations, especially on offenses we think are going to be good. You know, the Colts situation, that's ambiguous. I'm not trying to outright avoid those players, but I'm not going out of my way to try to target ambiguous situations in a Daniel Jones offense. So again, pick your spots. Don't just run away from ambiguous situations just for the sake of it. That dovetails perfectly into my next point here. When in doubt, just take good players on good teams, okay? Good teams. Offenses that we know or you can pretty confidently project are going to be good. These good ecosystems we always talk about. You know the obvious ones. If you listen to this podcast, you're a smart football fan. You don't even need to sit here and rattle off teams like the Bills and Ravens and the Niners hopefully get back there this year, right? Good players, good teams. Those proven players, target those guys because, hey, like they put it on film. They put it in the stat sheet. They're playing in that good ecosystem. Good teams, good offenses means more touchdowns, more productive drives. You want that on your fantasy football team. Don't just sit there and elevate somebody because, oh, well, who else is going to catch the football? Who else is going to carry the football? If the player's not good, there can always be a somebody else. This is how this works, man. These NFL football teams are trying to win games, all right? So they're not just going to throw out anybody and just because he went in the fifth round of your fantasy draft. Well, we just got to keep chopping wood with this. No, there can always be somebody else. So good players that you've seen, put it in the stat sheet, put it on film. If you're willing to, again, take that risk that, hey, this is a young player we haven't quite seen it from, but hey, there's some other indicators like my eyeballs, my gut says he's going to take a step forward this year. You know, his reception perception charts look pretty good. Okay, this is a good player that we can project taking a step forward, and they play on a good offense. When in doubt, break ties in favor of those players. More of a couple strategy points here real quick. Number one, vanity quarterback or vanity tight end. You got to pick one. Vanity of tight end quarterback is obviously a Scott Pienowski term. Shout out to Scott. You got to pick one of them. I don't think you could do both this year. As much as the top three, the elite guys at both positions are appealing, I think because of what Boone talked about in the previous section of, hey, we want you to get multiple running backs, two running backs in the first two rounds. You got to do that. Man, I'm not trying to pass up on a wide receiver one. as much as I'm going to talk about the depth of position in my last point here, there are still some guys there that they are so good. They are wide receiver one candidates. They're efficient. They're good at football. A lot of them are playing in good situations. I'm not trying to cross those guys off either. So yes, in the third round, me personally, I have been willing to take the vanity quarterback over the vanity tight end. If you like the Trey McBride, the Brock Bowers better than the quarterback value, I'm not going to say that that's wrong. But what I do think is wrong is trying to get both, because then I think you're chasing running back. And I think that's where you could really feel the pain. Maybe you end up pulling off a hero RB build. That's possible. You also don't want to be chasing wide receiver either, as much as I do really like the depth at that position, which leads me into my final point here. Rounds 5 to 7, 5 to 8, really. I've talked about it all off season. I want you hammering wide receiver picks in this range, okay? It's such a strong bucket at the position. This is where you can really feel the depth league-wide is in this round's 5 to 8 range. And it's a mix, a variety of names. There's rookies like Tetero McMillan, Travis Hunter. I think Emeka Egbuka now belongs in this group. Matthew Golden kind of hanging on the fringes there. He might get into the 8th round by the end of the weekend. You feel the rookies there. Those guys have a lot of upside. You also, there are second year breakout candidates. There's Xavier Worthy kind of can go in that 5th round range. I mean, Ricky Pearsall, Rome Odunze. I want you taking your shots on those guys, but don't overlook the kind of, hey, we know who these guys are, veterans. The Devontae Smiths, the Jalen Waddles, Jamison Williams, maybe, like Chris Olave. Don't overlook those guys. Those are good quality players in a variety of ecosystems. And then finally, there's some just kind of boring old veterans, you know, Calvin Ridley, Stephon Diggs. I think those guys are values at their ADP, even though they're older. They might not seem like upside picks, but they can be because they're still very good at football. And if their quarterbacks break out, they're going to take them along with them. We're expecting Cam Ward to be good at the first overall pick. We're all expecting Drake May to have a breakthrough second year season. If that happens, they're taking Calvin Ridley and they're taking Stephon Diggs along for the ride. And those guys go in that rounds 5 to 8. So get two running backs early, maybe get a vanity quarterback or a vanity tight end. In addition to your wide receiver one, after those four rounds, just start hammering wide receivers. Not exclusively, but I just want you to take like two, maybe three picks in this range because it's such a good group and it's really where you feel the depth of the position and how we just keep getting new, great young receivers into the league every single year, which, hey, for me, business is good. I am enjoying it. I also enjoyed this show today, and that is going to do it for this show and for our fantasy draft season coverage here on the pod. But man, we are just getting started here on the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast, and I could not be more happy with where we've gone and more excited for where we are going. Before I reveal the fall lineup, I just again want to say thank you to everyone that's tuned into the show this month. We didn't know how the new YouTube channel would go, but we've been blown away by the viewership, the engagement from all of you. Super appreciative of all the audio listeners as well, sticking with us. All in all, it's just been an awesome, monumental month for the show and Yahoo Fantasy as a whole. We're so excited for the season ahead, and again, could not be more grateful. Honestly, seriously, I'm very, very grateful. I won't get all soft here at the dawn of the season. You got fantasy drafts to do, but I am eternally grateful every single day that I get to do this and that you guys come along for the ride. And especially shout out to producer Colin, his entire team, and everybody that has worked so hard this month all across Yahoo Fantasy, but especially on this show. So without further ado, here is our fall lineup of the 2025 season. We go live every day, Sunday to Thursdays. On Sundays, Yahoo Fantasy's Chris Allen joins me to recap all of the Sunday action. We're going live as soon as the late window games end. What a better way to kill time between that and Sunday Night Football than hanging out with us. On Mondays, Boone joins me for the People's Panic Meter and to share his top waiver wire pickups of the week. On Tuesday, Ray Garvin joins me for Data Dump as we share the 10 stats, the 10 data points you need to know heading into the following week. On Wednesday, Nate Tice is back for another year of the Fantasy Film Room and the Thursday Night Preview. Then, speaking of Thursdays, Justin Boone joins me again to preview the weekend action for every single slate. I'm also going to provide solo primetime recaps for Sunday night, Monday night, and Thursday night all year long. It's going to be a busy season, but it's going to be one hell of a football season. I can't wait to get started. On Monday, we're going to have a special episode for the holiday. We filmed our bold predictions episode for the 2025 season with Justin Boone, Dan Titus, and Scott Pianowski in Las Vegas. That podcast will be yours at 5 p.m. Eastern on Monday. Until then, we are out.